Chapter 5. 2 days later, Veronica is sitting on one of the benches outside school, prepping some notes for an exam later that day, minding her own business, when Wallace jogs over. "Oh man, V," he says, grinning widely. "You've got to see this. Come on, right now."
"Is it a pony? You know I've always wanted a pony," Veronica says,
but she starts packing her stuff away as requested.
"No, it's not a pony," Wallace says. "I just think that we've finally found someone weirder than you."
Veronica halts dramatically.
"I don't know whether I should be hurt or intrigued," she says, and ponders for a moment. "Intrigued. Show me."
Wallace waves her on, still grinning. They go out to the parking lot, and she realizes a few moments later that Styles' Jeep is back. It's been gone for a few days. Despite the way he had forced Paulson to do his job, they hadn't had any luck tracking down the culprit. The prints weren't in the system, and they couldn't find any witness willing to admit they saw anyone near his car. All that is in the back of Veronica's mind now as she sees the Jeep, and her jaw drops. Instead of repainting the driver's side door in green and brown camo like the rest of the car, or a solid green or brown to match, or even just leaving it coated in primer to be done later, Styles has painted it in bright, happy, rainbow colors.
"Wow," Veronica finally manages. "You do like to live dangerously. What can I say, honey badger? It's fabulous."
Styles grins at her, an open, happy grin. There's already a small crowd gathering to gawk.
"Why, thank you, Miss Mars. Danger is my middle name."
"Is it? Really? Somehow that wouldn't surprise me," Veronica says, hiking her bag up on her shoulder. "Did you do it yourself, or did Weevil charge you extra?"
"Derek did it," Styles says. "Oh, had I mentioned that? Or did it come up in your Googling? He's an artist. You should Google him, actually. His work is fantastic."
Ignoring the crowd, he starts scrolling through his phone until he pulls up one of Derek's paintings, of the pack in their wolf form, with Styles snuggled up asleep amidst them. Veronica leans over to look.
"Wolves, of course."
But she continues to study the picture and has to admit it's pretty nice, at least from what she can see on a smartphone screen. It's also pretty sweet, with Styles curled up in amongst the wolves. She's not sure what compels her to count them, but she does. It's the same number of people that had come to Neptune, not including Styles' father.
"Why aren't you a wolf?"
Styles just gives her an innocent look and says,
"Why would I be?"
And then the warning bell rings, and he says,
"They're playing our song. Meet me back here after school. It's gonna be fantastic."
"Oh, I wouldn't miss it," Veronica says.
"Why wouldn't he be her skinny white ass?"
She can see how Derek might get a kick out of painting wolves because of the crazy rumors, or how the rumors might feed off the fact that he paints wolves. If the pictures had just been wolves, that would have seemed totally reasonable. But why was it only Styles who was human? She taps away at her phone as she walks to class, Googling as recommended. It takes her less than 2 minutes to ascertain that Derek paints a lot of wolves, in varying numbers and poses and settings. But Styles is always human.
"Whatcha thinkin'?" Wallace asks her.
"Why is he always in red?" she asks, shoving the phone in Wallace's face. Wallace blinks down at the picture.
"Man, don't ask me to explain art to you, Veronica. That's not my gig."
"And why is he always human?" Veronica scrolls a little more. Derek has done some other works, some of them not involving wolves or Styles at all. But when he does appear, he's always a human surrounded by wolves.
"Why are artists weird?"
"It's probably some metaphor thing," Wallace says. "You know, like, Styles is how he keeps in touch with his humanity, blah, blah, sentimental bullshit, blah."
"Yeah, maybe."
Veronica tucks her phone away. "He didn't look like the sentimental sort. But I suppose he didn't look like an artist, either."
Wallace just shrugs. Sleuthing is her department, the shrug seems to say. Veronica's not sure why it bothers her so much. Apparently, that stupid website had lodged in her brain and set up camp there. She shrugs it off and concentrates on her schoolwork. Stiles is increasingly antsy through the day. Whenever she sees him, he seems to be fidgeting even more. When the last bell rings, he practically leaps out of his seat, and she has to jog to keep up. "What's the hurry?" she calls after him. Then she thinks about who she's talking to. He's way too excited to go see what's been done to his car. "What did you do?" "Wait and see," Stiles calls back. Veronica shakes her head and follows. Stiles rounds the Jeep, stops, and then pumps his fist. "Yes! That's a fucking gold mine!" Veronica approaches and sees where the new words have been scratched into the door. "You'll get yours, queer!" "Tasteful." "So it really was hate bait. But this won't do you any good. Even if the prints match, they aren't in the system, remember?" Stiles just whistles as he unlocks the door and flips up the sun visor. He extracts a small piece of equipment and waves it in Veronica's face. "Smile," he says. "You're on candid camera." Veronica fans herself. "I hope you caught his good side." Stiles is playing with the device. "Nope, just the top of his head." "Oh well." He reaches over and takes the side mirror out of its socket. "There's another camera hidden behind it. This one probably worked better." "I love it when you whip out your toys." Veronica just can't contain herself. "It's so hot." "See, I told you we were soulmates." Stiles holds out the camera. "Do you know this sterling example of humanity?" "Tad Duval. I'd spit, but I might hit your Jeep." Veronica's not at all surprised. "I have a story or two to tell you about him, but there are a couple decent people who haven't had their reputations undeservedly tarnished in front of you, and they deserve at least a few people looking at them without knowing their dirty laundry." "So you don't like him?" Stiles surmises, a little smile quirking at the edge of his lips. "He's scum." Veronica doesn't actually say that about people easily. "There are a lot of people here that I can't stand for a lot of reasons. Because they're snotty or two-faced, or they think that because they have money, that makes them better. But that just makes them assholes. But there are a few people..." She shakes her head. "Tad Duval is scum. The sort of person who did what he had done to Carmen, that was the sort of person that moves on to doing it to girlfriend after girlfriend, doing it to his wife and to his kids. Or someday, he would follow through with the most likely empty threat he had left on Stiles' car." "Cool," Stiles says. "I'd hate to see a nice guy get arrested for..." He counts off on his fingers. 2 counts of vandalism and 1 count of criminal threatening. All with a lovely patina of hate crime. I'ma call my dad to go pick him up." "You want to know the best part?" Veronica asks, smiling. "I absolutely want to know the best part," Stiles says. "Tad wants to join the Air Force." Stiles whoops with laughter. "I'm pretty sure they frown on felony convictions," he says cheerfully. "It's like Christmas." Veronica does a happy dance. "Should I call Weevil for you, or are you going to leave it like a badge of honor?" "For now, it'll be evidence," Stiles says. "Gotta get pictures and paint samples and all that jazz. Work to do. I'll catch up with you later. You work tonight, right? I'll stop by the Java Hut after I'm done at the station." "Yep. Have fun destroying people." "I always do." Stiles is sitting on one of the desks at the police station, chatting with Leo while one of the officers processes Tad and gets his fingerprints. When the door bangs open and a well-dressed woman wearing too much perfume barges in, "I demand to speak to the sheriff," she shouts. Stiles is annoyed at the interruption. Leo's been telling him all about how his father gave the officers a kick-ass lecture on what constitutes a crime and how to do their job regardless of race, age, sexual orientation, or class status of the person reporting said crime. I may not be able to fire you, Sheriff Stilinski told them, but I can sure as hell assign you to inventory, desk duty, or toilet scrubbing. If you want to keep your jobs, then do your jobs. Stiles wishes that he had gotten it on film. It sounds like it was pretty spectacular. Leo is pretty sure that he'll have his chance, since the lecture will undoubtedly need to be given more than once. Leo gets to his feet as the woman slams the door behind her. What's wrong, ma'am?
Half an hour ago, someone showed up at my house and arrested my son like he was some common criminal, the woman rants. I'll have his badge for this. I don't have time for flunkies. You'll bring the sheriff out here and release my son right this instant.
Ma'am, the term you're looking for is deputy. It's much more appropriate than flunky, Leo says. His tone is polite, though it somehow also makes it clear that he's about to roll his eyes all the way into the next county. If you could give me your son's name, I'll be happy to see if Sheriff Stilinski is available to speak with you. Stiles knows that Leo knows damn well who she's talking about, because they've only arrested one person that day, but he suspects that this is going to be hilarious. She glares daggers at him.
It's Tad Duval! I want him released! Now!
Leo doesn't respond to that. The charges against Tad are not going to be dropped anytime soon, but there's no point in putting himself in the line of fire. I'll see if the sheriff's available, he says, and disappears around the corner. He comes back a few moments later with the man in tow. Deputy D'Amato said you wanted to speak with me, ma'am, Stilinski says, stopping behind the desk at a polite distance.
What I want, she says, her nose in the air, is for you to explain to me why you've dragged my son down here on some nonsense charge.
Well, it isn't nonsense, so your son is in a bit of legal trouble, Stilinski says, his tone suggesting that his ideas on the topic are about as flexible as a block of granite.
I want him released, right now. I'll call the press, I'll call my lawyer. You have no idea who I am, do you? This will be your job.
Sheriff Stilinski leans his hip against a nearby desk, crosses his arms, and settles in. It looks like this is going to take a while. I don't care that you want him released. He broke the law. I have a right to hold him, and I'm exercising it. You may feel free to call the press and your lawyer. In fact, I recommend that you call your lawyer, if it makes you feel better. I will be happy to tell the press that your son is being held for perpetrating a hate crime. Twice, against the same victim. As to who you are, I can only assume you are Mr. Duval's mother, and I can assure you that my job is secure. Mrs. Duval gapes at him for a long moment before shouting, I'm calling my lawyer, and storming out of the station. Excellent, Stilinski says as he straightens. We should get this on video, Leo says, shaking his head in some amusement. I suppose it would be bad form to question him when his mother has said they're calling his lawyer, Stiles pipes up. Even though he's 18, and so technically he's the one who should be asking for a lawyer.
Yeah, Stilinski agrees. Besides, he was so shocked that we actually hauled him in that leaving him to stew will work just as well. Mommy Dearest is calling the lawyer for all the wrong reasons. She thinks the lawyer is going to lay into me. He shakes his head a little. Boy, is she going to be upset when she realizes this isn't going to go her way. Do we own any earplugs?
Would you be surprised if I said yes?
Stiles asks. Kid, very little you say surprises me anymore. The sheriff turns to Leo. So, when Lam was in charge, would that stunt have worked? Leo shrugs. Believe it or not, I don't know. Because when Lam was in charge, he wouldn't have gotten dragged in at all. I mean, if the offended party had been another rich kid, maybe. But even then, he probably would have gone to the family's house, told them what was going on, and let them hash it out with untold sums of money. And that's part of why we're here right now, he says. Because everyone thinks this sort of behavior is acceptable if you have enough money. He scratches at his eyebrow.
I'm gonna piss off a lot of people before I'm done, aren't I?
Yep, Leo says, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Styles fishes out the earplugs, which he keeps around because sometimes Derek likes to hang out in the kitchen and draw, but the sound of the food processor or the blender irritates him. Then he sits down with his homework and waits. The lawyer shows up about 20 minutes later and comes in with Mrs. Duval, who now looks unbearably smug. The lawyer has a thin face and a handshake like a limp fish.
Stephen Costello, he introduces himself.
Tom Stalinski, the man says in reply, although he's pretty sure the lawyer has been told all about him. What did you want to discuss first?
Well, I'd like to know by what rights you're holding my client, the lawyer says, his nose in the air.
Vandalism is a crime, Mr. Costello. One that Mr. Duval committed not once, but twice. Ms. Duval, he pauses, then turns to Tad's mother and says in a tone of utmost politeness, I'm sorry, may I call you that, or should I be using a different name?
She sniffs. It's Mrs. Duval, she says, as if to suggest that only plebs get divorced.
Ms. Duval has explained, I'm sure, Stalinski says to Costello. I suppose I should ask what's been explained to you. Costello heaves a sigh.
That her son was dragged down here for accidentally scratching another student's car. Yes. I don't see how that's...
No.
The sheriff makes a sharp slashing motion with one hand, firmly cutting off this entire line of thought.
Her son has been arrested for purposefully vandalizing another student's vehicle. Not once, but twice, with language that makes it a hate crime both times.
A faint frown crosses Costello's face.
That's certainly a serious accusation. Perhaps we should...
Oh, for pity's sake! Mrs. Duval interrupts. Teenagers do this sort of thing all the time. It's not serious. What do I pay you for? If he's arrested, get him unarrested.
Are you suggesting that a hate crime isn't serious, ma'am?
Stalinski pulls himself up to his full height.
Don't be ridiculous. Anything can pass as a hate crime these days. Oh, he did it because he was gay, she says in a whining tone. Oh, they targeted him because he was black. If my son vandalized another student's car, which I seriously doubt, it had nothing to do with any preconceived notions that other students had about him.
Stiles steps between the two of them and slaps down the photograph of his car after the first time it had been keyed. He looks her dead in the eye and says,
Keep talking, Mrs. Duval. This is getting interesting.
What that says, in case you can't read it,
Stalinski says, his tone even, despite the fact that what he really wants to do is take his son and bundle him away from this awful woman and her hateful son, is go home, fag. He's informing the lawyer more than the mother, since it's becoming clear that he's the one with common sense. I think that makes things perfectly clear.
Costello clears his throat. Perhaps we should take this into a more private setting, he suggests. I'd like to have a word with my client.
By all means. He leads them to an interrogation room, where Tad has been left to cool his heels. Costello is waved in, and Stalinski follows close behind. Stiles will have to wait outside, though his father knows he'll be watching through the mirror. Mrs. Duval gasps in faux horror as soon as she sees the ink on her son's hands. She turns to Costello and barks out, Do you see that? They fingerprinted him like a common criminal.
Stalinski doesn't even bother to comment to that.
Costello tries to calmly inform her that they do indeed have the right to do so, and eventually manages to get her into the chair.
Now, if I may ask, what makes you think that my client is responsible for the vandalism?
The perpetrator left a clear set of fingerprints with the first act of vandalism, Sheriff Stalinski says, taking a seat on the opposite side of the table. They didn't match any in the system, so we were, relatively speaking, at a dead end. Then he left another set of prints with the second act. He takes out an evidence bag with a photograph of the second time the car had been keyed.
I'm aware that while the evidence doesn't look good, it could be viewed as circumstantial. However, the victim didn't take the damage to his card lightly and installed a small camera. So we have Mr. Duval on film committing the second act of vandalism. That, along with the prints, gives us a fairly solid case.
That little fairy has this on film?
Tad bursts out, and Costello quickly shushes him, although he looks like he'd really rather just excuse himself from the case and walk off into the sunset. Sheriff Stalinsky smiles. Yes, the young man does have it on film, from two separate angles. And now we have what you just said on film. Would you care to sign a confession?
Let's not rush into anything, Costello says quickly. I'd like to review the films, if possible, and then discuss...
This is ludicrous, Mrs. Duval bursts out. Fine, if there was damage to the car, we'll pay to have it repaired. Now, my son and I are leaving.
No, that's not how this works, Stalinsky states, as if talking to a three-year-old. This cannot be solved with money. The victim has already stated that, should you offer money, he does not wish to drop the charges. So no, Mr. Duval is not leaving. You may go if you wish. He turns to Costello. Do you want to view the film in here with your client or in private?
In here would be fine, Costello says, somewhat uncertain. Mrs. Duval starts swelling up like Aunt Marge in Harry Potter.
What is wrong with you? She shouts. Do something about this! What do I pay you for?
Costello clears his throat and says, Mrs. Duval, this is very serious. The language used, the threatening nature of the second message, it could easily turn this from a misdemeanor to a felony. We're talking about jail time.
Jail!
Her jaw simply sags open.
He can't be convicted of a crime. He's going into the Air Force.
Sometimes there are consequences for our actions, Mrs. Duval. Stalinsky stands up. I'll go get the film. Be right back. He closes the door behind himself and sees Stiles grinning happily at him.
This is awesome, Stiles says.
Stalinsky slings an arm around his son's shoulders with a smile, glad that he's enjoying this. It would be so easy for Stiles to be upset, but instead he seems to find it funny. Although he supposes, after the life his son has led, a homophobic teenager probably doesn't merit a lot of notice. The Air Force. Good God. He shakes his head as he moves them back down the hallway so he can get one of the station's laptops and the CDs with the recordings out of evidence.
You know, I bet his keys still have flecks of paint on them, Stiles says thoughtfully. Want me to get Leo to put them in evidence too? That'd really drive home that he's not going anywhere for a while.
That is an excellent idea. You terrify me. Keep it up. By the time Stalinsky gets back into the room, Mrs. Duval seems to have accepted that screaming is not going to get her son out of this. She turns to the sheriff and says, in a tone that's moderately more reasonable,
Sheriff Stalinsky, I know that you haven't been in Neptune very long, so maybe you're not familiar with how things are done around here. So I will put this plainly. What do I have to do to make this go away?
Stalinsky's eyebrows climb. I'd suggest bending the laws of physics, going back in time before it happened, and raising your son with some better morals. He sets down the laptop, opens it up, and cues up the videos. Since she's sitting there with her jaw ajar, Costello says, Mrs. Duval, I think you'd better go. This may take a while, and... She's treading dangerously close to bribing an official, and it's becoming increasingly clear that Sheriff Stalinsky wouldn't hesitate to charge her for it. Stalinsky says nothing, knowing that if he opens his mouth, it'll only ruffle her feathers, and he wants her gone. The kid has practically hanged himself anyway, and he'd like to get things over with.
Fine, she snaps. Fine, but this isn't over. My husband is friends with Judge Calloway. These ridiculous charges will be dismissed by 9 a.m. tomorrow. You see if they're not.
Noted, Stilinski says. Although what he's really noting is that if Tad is stupid enough to force this to a trial, they'll have to make sure that's not the judge. Once she's stormed out, he shifts to a seat closer to Costello, bringing the laptop with him. There are two videos, different angles. Just hit play whenever you're ready. Costello views them in silence. There isn't much beyond the top of Tad's head visible in the first video, but the second has caught him beautifully. Not only is his face visible, but it's clear what he's doing. When the video ends, Costello clears his throat and says, I'd like a little time alone with my client. Sure, Stilinski says. He stands and leaves the room. Hey, guess what? Stiles greets him. Mrs. Duval just offered me $5,000 if I agreed to drop the charges. Stiles, please tell me that you were being yourself with a vengeance. His father says, he would absolutely love to nail the woman with witness tampering. Oh, I didn't need to, Stiles says, laughing. She did it right in front of Leo. He's got her in holding already. Stilinski just starts laughing as well. I suppose I should go notify her poor sap of a lawyer and maybe offer him the earplugs. Stiles slaps his father on the shoulder. You have fun with that. I have a date with Veronica at the Java Hut. I promised I'd let her know how it went. He jogs out of the room to where Derek's picking him up. The Jeep, of course, is being repaired. Again. The Camaro is in pristine condition, though, and they zoom through the streets of Neptune to the Java Hut, where Veronica is working. It's fairly empty, being a weekday afternoon, and the Please Seat Yourself sign is up. Stiles picks a table in the back, so Derek can sit in the bench along the wall, and Stiles can arrange himself in Derek's lap. Derek lets him, wrapping an arm around his waist. Now you're just baiting people. He says the words quietly as he presses his nose into Stiles' shoulder. If baiting people amuses Stiles, he may as well help. Veronica glances over as they get settled, and waves to let them know she'll be over in a minute. If she wants to have time to socialize, she has to make sure everyone else is taken care of. She does a quick check on her other tables, and then saunters over to Stiles and Derek. What can I get for you, gentlemen? Hot chocolate with whipped cream, Stiles says. He's had enough caffeine for the day, which is something of a minor miracle. But he downed 3 Red Bulls before the police brought Tad in, and they're still working through his system. Black coffee, Derek tells her. Like always, he takes his coffee as dark and bitter as he wants everyone to think he is. He's just a ray of sunshine, isn't he? Veronica says, privately amused by Derek's sour attitude, which is in direct contradiction to the smiling boy in his lap. Always, Stiles says cheerfully. He and Logan should have a contest to see who's better at brooding. Logan wouldn't make it, Veronica says. He can't resist a witty retort. I'll be right back with your drinks, she adds, and leaves them to themselves for a few minutes. Derek is doodling on a napkin when she comes back, a little picture of Stiles standing triumphant on top of his Jeep. So, Veronica says, how'd it go? Oh my God, Stiles says. It was awesome! Veronica pulls the chair on the other side of the table out. Spill. Start with the highlights. We'll go back for details later. I love a good ruining. Oh, he is so ruined. He wants to be in the Air Force, and having this on his record pretty much fucks that, Stiles says. We got him on film from 2 separate angles, and there was paint on his keys. That with the fingerprints, we've totally nailed him. Veronica actually claps in glee. This is seriously the best. You have no idea what a spooge Tad is. Oh, it gets better, Stiles says. Because as soon as my dad mentioned the film, Tad's response was, wait, that fucking fairy has it on tape? In the interrogation room, with the sheriff. He practically admitted he did it. You're lying, Veronica says, as Derek leans around Stiles to sip his coffee. You have to be. No one can be that stupid and live. You should have seen his poor lawyer having apoplexy, Stiles says, chortling and wiping whipped cream off his lip. He should have just quit. How long did it take for one of them to try to buy you off? Veronica's practically bouncing in her seat at this point. She can't remember the last time she was so excited. In Neptune, they always have to try to buy you off. Well, Tad's mom was subtly hinting at it from the beginning. I think she figured my dad would just cave and let her kid go because she's so important. Stiles makes air quotes and then slurps up some of his hot chocolate. Then I think she thought he was playing dumb, so she asked him point blank what she had to do to make it go away. To which my dad, Stiles starts laughing, he can't help it, told her to go back in time and raise her son better. Derek makes a funny noise and actually sets his mug down. There's another noise, like a muffled snort, and he looks away, towards the wall. Then he just loses it, wrapping both arms around Stiles and burying the laughter in his shoulder. I'm okay, he says, still chuckling. Veronica's jaw has become slightly unhinged. I think your father may be my hero. My dad does not take shit from anyone, ever. Period. End of story, Stiles says. It's like a defining point of his character. And so the lawyer is trying to explain to the woman that, no, really, this is serious. This could actually be a felony with jail time and stuff. Jeez, does it make me weird that I'm actually glad he chose you'll get yours instead of a slightly more innocuous go to hell or something like that? Yes, Veronica guesses, but I'm right there with you. Does it make me a bad person that I agree with you because now he's really screwed? Probably only a little, Stiles says. Anyway, this woman, who just does not get it, then asks me if I'd be willing to drop the charges for $5,000. Derek nearly loses it again, but then pulls himself together. Veronica rubs a hand over her face. She asked you that, at the sheriff's department, while her son was in custody. Does she look like she's been repeatedly dropped on her head by any chance? Maybe all the Botox has gone to her brain, Stiles says, snickering. I told her that I might not look it, but probably had just as much money as her. And she would have to do a lot better than that. So she offered to buy me a new car. Right about then is when Leo arrested her for witness tampering. She what? Derek asks, clearly incensed. He shakes his head. This place. She honestly thought you'd take anything, let alone a new car? She should have at least tried for something you might want. I'm pretty sure this woman has been told she can have anything she wants her whole life. Stiles laughs. You should have seen her when they got her in the room, and she was going off about how we'd fingerprinted her kid like some common criminal. I was like, what, would you rather he be an uncommon criminal? Like a serial killer or something? Veronica gives another snort of laughter. We are way too cheerful about this. Where have you been all my life? Pining away without even realizing it, Stiles agrees. So, Tad is getting nailed on 2 counts of vandalism and 1 count of criminal threatening, all of which with a lovely hate crime edge. He lifts his cocoa and toasts her. And I will be bringing Jack to school with me from now on because my dad is afraid Tad's homophobe friends will decide to carry out his threats. He will be one hell of a deterrent, Veronica agrees with a nod. I mean, I know service dogs have even temperaments, but he's pretty scary looking. And this coming from a girl who cuddles up at night with a pit bull named Backup, who's been trained to attack on command. Nice, Stiles says. I'm not really worried about it, but hey, if it makes my dad feel better. To be honest, I prefer him with me anyway. I just didn't want to start a fuss here. But now you do? I want to start all the fuss, Stiles says with a smirk. Veronica shakes her head a little and says, I feel like I'm really going to enjoy this semester.